Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Can I just talk for a few minutes? Tonight it's going to be different. I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to talk, basically. Because, man, I'm so proud of this church and the way this church has rose up and stepped up during these extremely tough times. How many guys enjoyed Sunday morning? Man, wasn't he amazing? I keep telling people, it's like a breath of fresh wind just blew through this place. And, you know, so many people have thanked me for letting Yvette do it live on Facebook. I didn't let Yvette do that live on Facebook. He chose to do that on his own. But so many people have thanked us for letting that go out. And I'm proud for that. You know what I'm saying? So many, because Pastor Madu did a phenomenal, phenomenal job. And so I believe he's cranked something up and started something here. So I'm going to just kind of not build off what he's done, but I just want to talk tonight on what it takes for God to be able to use us as a church. And God specifically, the Bible says, looks for people he can use. And I want to make sure that as a church, we stay as a church that God can use. I want him to make sure that we stay a church that God uses in this city. I want to make sure God uses this church in his kingdom. And I believe God has called the church to do more than just in this city, but I believe it's going to be international and national, what's going to come out of this house. I believe God wants to use this church to minister into your families and into your personal lives, into my personal life. But if we don't keep a constant watch on the kind of church that we are, it's real easy to get off track just a little bit. You know, in the old days, when they were sending astronauts up to outer space, I don't know how many of you guys have been watching that treasure hunt show. Have y'all been watching that treasure hunt show about the guy, the astronaut that made the treasure maps? I get into that stuff, the History Channel, Discovery Channel stuff. But there was an astronaut that went up, and he orbited the Earth. And he was supposed to be looking for nuclear bombs, but while he was there, he was pinpointing sunken treasure ships. Came back with all these hidden maps, and you know that's what they're doing now, is they're searching for them. But when he was navigating, they didn't navigate with the instruments and GPSs that we have now. They did it by sight. They would line up according to different bodies in the sky, and that would bring them back home. That's amazing, because if they'd have just been a little fraction off, they would have missed their landing zone by hundreds and even thousands of miles. So I just want to make sure that as a church, we keep a watch on the direction that we're going and make sure we don't get off even a point or a decimal. That's so vitally important, because the Bible says this. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. That means there is a disqualifying factor that can play. And I'm telling you, I don't want God to use this church in this city simply out of pride or out of wanting to be a pastor for great church. I want him to use this church because there are boys and girls and men and women dying in this city every week that don't know the Lord. And so I don't want us to get off in any area, because it can truly mean eternity for people if we let ourselves or allow ourselves to drift just a little. And you'll understand what I'm saying in just a minute, but I just want to make sure. I don't want tradition to cause us to drift. I don't want culture to cause us to drift. I don't want personality to cause us to drift. And I don't want even, you know, talents and giftings to cause us to drift in any way. Because God does not use those things. Or they don't qualify. God uses them, but they don't qualify us to be used by God. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I want to talk tonight about making sure our church keeps the right spirit. Because I got to be honest with you, I navigate blindly a lot of times in a lot of areas in this church. I've been a pastor for 20 plus years, but there's a lot of areas daily and weekly I get into as a pastor. I have no clue what direction I'm going. I've never walked with families through what we've walked through with families lately. I've never, even through instances of witnessing and talking to people, I'm witnessing to a guy right now that I've encountered that I have never witnessed or walked with someone getting close to the Lord in the realm of life he's coming out of. And so, man, I got to be honest. I don't want the blind leading the blind, but 90% of the time I'm blind walking into what we're doing. And I'll be the first to tell you, if you're coming to me for all the answers, we are all in a lot of trouble. But I do know this. It's not by might nor by power, but it is by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is what we are in desperate need to guide us and lead us and to direct us. Even if the Spirit leads us into wildernesses, and even if the Spirit leads us into temptations and direct contact with the enemy at times, doesn't mean we wasn't led by the Spirit, because that's what happened to Jesus. The Bible says Jesus went directly, was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, and the devil came to him three times. And so if you're being led by the Spirit, you're not led out of trouble, but you're directed to get through the trouble. And so I just want to make sure, and I'm going to talk about a few topics, and I want to make sure that we as a church keep our bearings straight and make sure that we remain a church that God will use. I brought this up many times before. You know, three Easters ago, we had that beautiful young lady walk into this church on Easter Sunday morning, got here late, got here time for the service, got here to hear the message and respond in the altar call, walked out of church, stood in our parking lot, took a picture, put it on Instagram, posted out to her friends. God had changed her life that day. 2 hours later, ate with her family, got on a four-wheeler, hit a tree and died and went into eternity. I'm telling you, God chose this church that Sunday to have the Spirit lead her to a place where she could get right to walk into eternity with. Our beautiful Dee Dee, I'm telling you, God chose this to be a church for that family, because I don't know if you guys know the story of how that family came to be a part of our church, but it was odd circumstance. We were in the mall. We were there on a Wednesday night. Linda, you were cooking hot dogs that night. The reason why I know it, you were always preparing the Wednesday night meals. I ran over to the Dollar Tree there in the mall to get paper plates. And what we were doing then was feeding families on Wednesday night. And there was this beautiful young lady standing in line that had a handful of kids. And she was holding one, and all the rest lined up behind her. I looked at her and said, "Goodness, you got a lot of kids." And she, you know, Tamika, and she said this. She says, "You want one?" And I said, "No, thank you." I said, "Well, why don't you come over here and eat with us?" I explained to her we're at the church, and we were feeding family. I know you don't got, with that many kids, you probably don't got time. She came in. They came that Wednesday night, ate hot dogs with us. She went and got her mom. They came back that Sunday, and they've been a part of this church ever since. And God put them in this church, not just for what this church could do for them, but God calls them to become something in this church. And God chose us to be their church. And, you know, people say they can pick churches. Well, when you meet families like that, they don't pick churches. The Bible says God plants us in churches. And God planted them here, and He chose this church for them to be planted in this garden. I'm saying, God chose this church then. We just walked with your family, Linda, this week. And I got to be honest with you. I knew Debbie well enough to know this. She wasn't going to go be a part of any other church in this town. It took us. And it didn't take us individually, because any of us individually wouldn't have hit the mark. But it took us corporately. And Debbie and her whole family being able to come into a church. I love the church we are. I love it. Debbie was able to come into this church and feel at home many, many times. And she may not have felt at home at any other church. As a matter of fact, I would even go as far to say, and y'all correct me, Shelby and Dave, did she ever go to any other church that you know of? because I knew Debbie, I could take that. I'm so proud that we were her church. We were a church that would allow Debbie, and not just Debbie, our whole family. I'm proud to be a part of this church. But I want to make sure that we don't become, or we get off course in any way. Because if God is choosing us, I got to be honest with you, there were some of the people that were in that funeral the other night, you tell me, they haven't been in a church in a long, long time. Had they not, if this not have been Debbie's church, they wouldn't have been in a church. And I tried to tell it as truthful as I could. Was the family happy with it, as truthful as I could say it? And say, I don't know if they've heard the gospel in any other way. God has chosen this church for certain things. I want to make sure we stay on point. So I'm going to talk tonight what I believe it takes for us to stay that church. That God can use, God will choose And it will draw people that need to desperately know the Lord. Because if we don't accomplish anything else, I'm telling you, I want to make sure when somebody's fixing to face eternity, they're going to face heaven or hell, that God can say they need to get there because they're going to get the option to make the choice. So, I'm going to talk tonight. So, Joe, you got Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And we'll start back at the beginning just for a minute. And it says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Now, this is the story of Adam in the beginning. But it's still you and I's story as well. This story right here has been replicated or duplicated constantly in your life, in my life, and even since Adam's. What happened here was this. God reached down into the dirt. And out of the dirt, he formed a man. Now, the Bible says each and every one of you were formed by God in your mother's womb. That's why before you were even born, he knew you, he formed you. Psalms 139 goes into great detail about your forming and how you were wonderfully and beautifully created. But the thing about it is this, we all come from dirt. And we have to know this. Every one of us started off as dirt. And without God, we would all still be dirt. Now, Adam was physically made out of dirt. The truth is, once we were born, because we were born into a fallen world, every one of us, although we had flesh on our bones, we were born as dirt. Because we were dirty, we were sinful. What makes dirt dirt is dirt. And there's not, you know, there's no such thing as clean dirt. If you got dirt, it's dirt. And the truth of the matter is, every one of us came into this thing dirt. But by the grace of God, the Bible says he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. Because of the price Jesus paid, every single one of us started off dirt. We were all dirty. But when we had an encounter with God, and the Spirit of God went from being outside of our dirt to coming inside of our dirt, the Bible says here what happened to Adam was he became a living being. You did not live until you were saved. You were dirt. You were functioning dirt, you were moving dirt, and you were getting by dirt, but you weren't alive. You were constantly searching, looking for ways to live, but none of it was working for you. I don't care if you were turning to bottles, I don't care if you were turning to pills. You were dirt and none of it was working, none of it could work, until the Bible says the Spirit of God came in, the breath of God came into it, and he caused you to begin to live. Now, if you encounter anybody that's ever had an encounter with God, they'll tell you, man, I can't imagine going back to what I was. You know, because it was all pointless, it was all meaningless. But when God came in and he saved me, I felt alive for the first time. How many of you guys remember the alive feeling you had when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And you knew your sins were forgiven. And he had a way of reaching inside of that dirt and cleaning it all up from the inside. Now the process of this is this. When the Spirit of God came in you, your spirit came alive. What was once dead now is living. And the thing about it is, that living spirit on the inside of you, the truth is there's a lot of people that have that living spirit on the inside of them, and they're clean in the heart, but they still got dirty hands. And that's why we have a lot of conflict and things with people in the church and things like that. It's because, you know, just because the breath of God came in you, the Bible says that you don't clean the vessel and bring it to the Lord. The Bible says that you bring the vessel to the Lord and he will clean it. But the way he cleans it is he starts with the inside out. That's why baby Christians may struggle with things for a long period of time before finally, it's called sanctification, before the sanctification begins to work. Now, as a church, we believe this. Sanctification happens instantly and is progressive. What we believe is this. When the Spirit of God came inside you, instantly you were clean. But what begins to take place is, while because you're clean on the inside, you still may be dirty on the outside. But the longer you walk with the Lord, the cleaner and the cleaner and the cleaner his word and his spirit and his presence make you. And so it's a progressive work as well. And I want to tell you this. I'm so proud to be a part of a church that has not chosen to be judgmental. Because when someone comes in clean on the inside and God cleans them on the inside, they don't expect them to be clean on the outside instantly. Now, we do expect you to do and live better than you've ever lived. I mean, because faith without works is dead. You do got to live out what you're believing. But at the same point, we do understand that there are parts of us that God is still... And this is the truth. You know, people say, well, Cricket, should I stop this? Could I stop this? Well, you know, let me be honest with you. None of you have the power to stop anything. That's why you weren't able to stop it before. Until God tells you to stop something, you do not have the power to stop it, or you already would have. But let me tell you this. The minute God tells you to stop something, the minute you're sitting in a service or you're sitting in the presence of God or you're talking to God and the Holy Spirit touches you in an area and says, listen, it's time to lay this down. It's time for this to change. That means you have the power to lay it down and change it right there. And if you choose to walk away with it at that point, then you're choosing to walk away with sin. And the Bible says, I'm just going to go real hard and strict on this for a minute. You know that. But the Bible says, for sin there is a sacrifice. But for willful sin, there is no sacrifice. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, God speaks to you, gives you a word, says it's time to quit this. And you lay it down, but you decide to pick it back up as sin. You need to start asking God to forgive you for that. It's not okay. You can't be okay with living in sin. You can't do that. But going back to this, God formed us all from dirt. We all came from the same place. And God breathed His life inside of us. And we became a living spirit. Tonight I want to talk about what it takes to keep us right and keep us being chosen and used by God. It's not by talent. It's not by ability. It's not by looks, appearance. It's not by dress. It's not by paint. It's not by lights. It's not by TV. What keeps us as a church being available to be used by God is going to be a spiritual thing. Spirits qualify or disqualify us as people. I want to go real quick to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. Joe's going to bring it up. I'm going to read it here. Now, we're kicking into the story where Elijah and Elijah just passed the baton. I always say these names wrong, so if I'm getting them backwards, forgive me. The two words are there, you can see, and you'll be able to tell the difference. But what happened was this. Elijah had been used mightily by God for years. Done amazing things. I mean, probably the most powerful prophet to ever walk the face of the earth. Turned nation. I mean, just amazing. But now he was gone. And a king started crying out, is there not a prophet among us? I want you to know something. This city, this country, around the world, they're crying out, is there not a church among us anymore? Because I got to be honest with you, the churches has taken so many wrong avenues and so many... We've gotten so ingrained in traditions. I got to be honest with you, traditions have choked out the Spirit of God. We've gotten so ingrained in religions. We've gotten so ingrained in fear that what people are going to say or what... If we don't, you know, but the truth is there's people in this city crying out, is there not a church in the city anymore I can go to? Because the last one I was at, I sat on the back row and they judged me. They made me feel bad for who I was, the way I dressed, the way I talked. They made me feel bad from where I've been and where I want you to know. I don't want to be that church where people, when they desperately hit a road and they say, you know, I need God and I can't find Him anywhere. Where can I find? I want to be a church that they can say, is there not a church among you? And the city and the people in the city say, well, you can go to Victory. I've said this 100 times. I am so glad this church is full of hypocrites. I am so glad. Because that's the number one reason why people say they won't come to church. And I've said this before. Hypocrites belong in church. Because it's the same issue as if I'm so glad that the hospital full of sick people. Because if sick people didn't go to the hospital, there would be no help for them to get well. And the thing about it is if hypocrites can't come here, then how are they going to have an encounter with God and change? It's not going to happen at home. So if we're church full of hypocrites, great. Then we're probably the church that the presence of God will visit the most, because we'll be the church that people need to change more than any other church. We have got to, and now I'm not giving you permission to be a hypocrite. What I'm giving you permission to do is, if you've got issues, you don't let your issues keep you from coming to church. You let your issues be what bring you to church so you can encounter. Because the truth of the matter is, there are certain times in my life I get so busy, I get so aggravated, and I get so fleshly that I cannot feel, see, or sense the presence of God anywhere outside in my world. But I know this, if I will come to church, and it don't matter what's going on anywhere else, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in His name, the Spirit of God will be here. The presence of God will be in this place. And the thing about it is, if I've got issues, I want to be able to walk my issues into the presence of God, because that's the only place my issues will change. And so we have got to be a church that allows the Spirit of God to be present in this place. But the problem with it is, God uses people. And of all the plans that I see God using, and all the, I look in the Bible and see how amazing His design is, I think, God, why in the world did you mess it up by choosing to use us? Because that's the only flaw I see in any of His plans. But I know it's not a flaw. I know that He chose. Why didn't He just keep sending His sons and His son's sons and His sons and His grandsons and actually keep sending? Because Jesus lived here and never got it wrong. Why don't you just keep sending somebody from heaven to get it right, to help us get there? But He didn't. He left it in our hands. And the truth is, we mess it up all the time. So how is it that we can be what God wants us to be and still be messed up and be people? Because it's not about hands, it's about heart. Spirits are what qualify us as a church. The Bible says here, go back to my scripture, Joe. The Bible says here that the king was crying out, is there not a prophet among them all? I'm telling you, when the cry out in this city is, when people say, I don't go to church because there's not a good church in there, then we're not doing our job right. There are, people ought to know, is there not a church in this city where I can encounter God? They ought to be able to say, yes, if there's no other church, the Victory Church has chosen to be the kind of church that I can encounter God in. And I believe, God, we got a lot of great churches in this city. But I'm not responsible for a lot of the other churches in this city. I'm responsible for this one. And so what I have to be concerned about is, what kind of church are we? And so I know this. This city's crying out. There's people crying out. There are suicides that happen all in this city. And they're saying, is there not a church anywhere in this city that I can truly encounter God? Is there not a church in this city that I can walk in and be loved and accepted? Is there not a church in this city that will show me the love of Christ even when I don't deserve it? Is there not a church in this city that has been from hell and back, and they can show me how to get from my hell out of what I'm going through? We've got to be a church that allows the Spirit of God to use us in that manner. And this is what it says. It says, so Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elijah, the son of, I want to say Snapchat, but I know that's not what that said, Shaphat is here. It says, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. This guy right here was not even known for being a preacher. This guy was not even known for being a prophet. This guy was simply known by pouring the hands on a man that had come before him that was used by God. He was known for being a servant. There's a lot of things that we think as people that qualify us for ministry and qualify us for being used by God. But I want you to know something. The only thing that will allow God to use us is if we come to God and we keep before God a servant's heart. He could have been known. Now, this guy was not an ordinary guy, because this guy, Elijah, y'all know I get messed up with these two. He actually did twice as many miracles, twice as much power as the one before him. But he was known as the man that washed the ones before him hand. It was a servant heart that qualified this man to be used by God. So tonight I want to talk about how do we keep the right spirit so that God can use us to do things. It doesn't come from the pulpit. It doesn't come from the organization. It comes from each individual person. And then I got to be honest with you. This church is full of servants. So I'm not griping or praying. I'm telling you this. We have to make sure we keep the mark. We got to keep the window pointing at the right star. Because if we don't, we can get off degree, just one degree, and we'll end up so far from where we're supposed to be. And it comes down to being spirits. It's not talent. I got to be honest with you. We can have the worst sound of music in this city and still be used mightily by God because it's not built on talent. We already can contest that if we don't have guest speakers, you probably got the worst preacher in this town. But I tell you this, it's not about talent, giftings, abilities, because the thing about it is we all have those. The Bible says God's given all of us giftings, talents. We were all made and formed by God in certain ways. But the thing about it is, you're just dirt if the Spirit of God is not in you. It says, He reached down and He formed. That means He reached down and He put talents and giftings. He put things in us, but they're dirt if the Spirit of God is not actively awakening us. Now I'm going to go in a direction, and I want you to understand my heart when I say this. The Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Then the Bible says this, My sheep know My voice, and a voice of a stranger they will not follow. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14 through 17, let's go there. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to bring mention to this, because this is really where I'm wanting to get to tonight. It says, But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, you can get into whatever you want to. There's a lot of theological debates and thought patterns and all this kind of stuff on this thought pattern right here. We're reading out of King James. Other translations really don't go into this way and say, but what it said, because a lot of people question, why did God send a troubling spirit to him? God didn't send him a troubling spirit. But you got to understand something. Anywhere the Spirit of God is not present, there's a troubling spirit that is present. So it didn't say, it didn't kick off in here saying that, you know, God sent a spirit and then God pulled back. No, what it said was when God pulled back, a troubling spirit came because there was an absence of the Spirit of God. Let's read on down. And Saul's servant said to him, Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let's go ahead and go one couple more. We're going to read to 17. Let our masters now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand. When the distressing spirit from God is upon you, you shall be well. We'll go one more. So Saul said to his servants, Provide me now with a man who can play well and bring him to me. I want to make mention here how Saul was an anointed man of God. He was anointed by the same man that anointed David. He was anointed to a position. And he was, when he was anointed, the Bible says when they poured the oil on his head, he began to prophesy and speak prophecy. He started, the gifts of the Spirit were flowing through him. Why did it not stay that way? Because the anointing was not taken from him. What happened was the Spirit departed from him. Anywhere the Spirit leaves, I want you to understand something. The enemy's going to take full advantage of getting there. Just like going back to you being dirt and me being dirt. The Bible says He formed us out of dirt. The dirt that we've turned our life into and the mess we made. When we give ourselves to God, God breathes the Spirit into us and we become alive. But the Bible says that if you run a spirit out of a house and he comes back to that house and it's empty, he'll go get seven of his buddies and come back and fill it even the more. All right? So what happened was when the Spirit of God left this man, although he was anointed, and not only was he anointed, he was gifted. He's prophesied. Not only was he gifted, he was adequate. He was, the Bible says, a head and shoulder above all the rest. He looked, when the people looked for a king, they picked him because he looked like a king. He carried himself like a king. He even probably walked, talked, and fought like a king. But the thing about it was, none of his giftings, none of his talents, none of his abilities mattered any. It was all about the Spirit of God on his life. And it wasn't even about the anointing. Because I'm telling you, you can be who you are and try to live the way you want to. And I'm telling you, I've seen fleshly people come into service and being anointed in a service. I've been in churches that, you know what I'm saying, would be anointed. And then 6 months later, it would come out that something had happened in that church and been going on for a year. And you're thinking, what in the world? You know, I was in that service and there was a mighty move of the Spirit in there. The anointing can be anointed. The Bible says that a donkey spake. The Bible says Solomon, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon Solomon, and a man that lived in all kind of compromise was still mightily used by God, but not for long, and not as long as God wanted him to. I want you to know something. If God has to use a donkey in this church to save somebody's life, he will do it. Because that person he's saving is important enough to him that he will even use a donkey. But the thing about it is, it doesn't make that donkey a constantly... That donkey that talked in Genesis, it never said he'd talk again. He talked again. I don't want to be a one-hit wonder. I don't want our church to just be a flash in the pan. I want our church to be something that God has chosen to use. And it's going to take the Spirit. Not just anointing. We pray for the anointing. We love the anointing. We believe God for the anointing. But I'm telling you, if our spirit in this church doesn't stay right, the anointing can leave. So we're talking here. It says that Saul was anointed. But it said this. A spirit would come and torment him. I want everybody to know this. No matter who you are, no matter what you are, you're susceptible to being led by spirits. I say that to say this. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. You got to know, the Spirit of God leads, but also every other spirit tries to lead. And the Bible says that my sheep know my voice. Now, you got to understand, there's a lot of people in the church being led, but they're not being led by the Spirit of God. They're being led by another spirit, because the Bible leaves reference here in that scripture. It says, my sheep know my voice, not my lambs. In other words, spiritually immature people can be led astray, even though they may be Christians, they're not mature Christians, and you can be led in a different direction, because spirits lead. And you've got to make the choice. Am I going to be led by the Spirit of God, or am I going to be led by a susceptible spirit that I'm susceptible to? And you got to know this. Every one of us are susceptible to a spirit. And we're all susceptible to different spirits. There, since the time of your birth, the enemy has been watching, studying, setting up, and setting things into place to be able to. He knows you. He has. How many guys have ever read the book, The Art of War? You know, and one of the main keys is you better know your enemy. Believe you this, the devil knows you, and he knows your weakness. And because he knows your weakness, what he does is, just like the Spirit tries to lead you into the things of God, there are spirits that the enemy sends against you to try to lead you into the things away from God. There are some in here that are very susceptible to the spirit of rebellion. I tell you what, I'm susceptible to the spirit of anger and pride. Those two are the ones I have to keep constantly at bay. I mean, I have to know. And so you've got to know what spirit you're susceptible to. Because if you don't know, you will be led by this spirit and you will not even realize you're being led by it. And when you're led by those spirits, what it does is that spirit is constantly trying to lead you to a place of disqualification or to a place where God can't use you. When God gifts and talents people, the enemy recognizes that stuff and he puts an attack and an onslaught against them. You know, I'm going to be truthful with you. Like in this church, one of the greatest strengths we have in here and the greatest gifts God, we are a multicultural church. We are, and I got to be honest with you, we don't do that on purpose. I try to be cultural sensitive. You don't understand how many meetings I have trying to be culturally sensitive to all cultures. George, And there I try to constantly understand that they come from a different culture than I do. And I'm so glad they come from the Hispanic culture, because the more I've learned and known George, the more I love Mexican food. I'm starting to realize how Jennifer was way ahead of me on this stuff. George and Ms. Neri cook the best food ever. But I know this. I know this because God has planted them in this church. I don't understand why, but the church needs them. And the thing about it is, I need to be aware that, you know, we are it. But the thing about it is, I don't know how to be something I'm not. And so, I don't want to, like I said, I have, George, I've asked people. I've asked our praise team. We met about it last week. Says, is there any way that we can start incorporating some Hispanic praise songs into our praise team? Because I know this. If God's put you here, He put you here for a reason. And He didn't put you here for no reason. I mean, just to sit on a pew. He's going to use you as a light and to draw people in. I got to make sure our church stays prepared for that. I got to be honest with you. You don't get much whiter than me. I mean, I'm just being, I mean, we're going to speak honestly about that. I am very white. I talk country. I think country. And I am learning. Not that I am learning, and I'm trying to learn black culture. I am, because I offend black culture almost every week. You know, I usually wear jeans. If I wear jeans, I didn't realize this. I wore jeans a few weeks ago that had a hole in the knee. You remember that on Father's Day? It offended black culture, and I didn't mean to. I called them my holy jeans. I thought you were supposed to wear them to church. But I do understand black culture says this. Sunday was the day, the only day, that at a time in our nation's history, black culture could dress up in their finest. And that's why they dress up and they come to church in their best. I'm insensitive to that because I didn't come from black culture. And I don't mean to be, but I'm saying this, to be a church, our greatest strength can become our greatest weakness if we don't keep the right spirit about it. We have to keep a spirit of God in every area of our church. I got to be honest with you. I'm so glad we're not an all-black church, because I wouldn't get to come here. I'm so glad we're not an all-white church, because we would lose the predominant amount of members that we have in our church. We wouldn't be Victory if we just had all white. We wouldn't be Victory if we had all black. And we wouldn't be Victory if we didn't have Hispanic. We would not be Victory. God has made us a very unique church. But it's not on purpose. The way God made us was this, but it was by His Spirit. Because there's no other way, especially in religious context, can every culture come into a church and worship God the way they worship God, had it not be by the Spirit. Because every culture worships God differently. And as you see, I mean, I've talked to the praise team and met with our praise team and said, hey guys, can we not play some more gospel music? And the truth of the matter is this. They can't. They're whiter than me. And that's just the truth. And so they try. Do you see them? They try. And so we're not trying to be culturally insensitive. I'm telling you the truth. But I'm so glad that the Spirit of God has qualified this church to be. And let me tell you this. What is the Spirit that qualifies it? It is the Spirit of love. This church has great amounts of love in it. And because the love is here, it's the Spirit. I'll read you this scripture. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I've been in a lot of churches that sounded like that to me. Being a preacher's kid, I've sat through a lot of services that was just spiritual noise. Because my dad let us dress and be the way we wanted to be as we were growing up. He didn't try to put us in a Christian box. And now I wish, as being an older person and having children, I wish maybe he should have. But I, because my little girls come up to me today, Dad, why you got holes in your ears? And I said, well, babies, you know, back in the day, you know, we could do that. And it would, you know, I mean, but I'm glad my dad and them let me wear earrings when he did, because, I mean, that's, that's how it is. Now I'm trying to explain to my daughters why I have holes in my ears, because they didn't grow up like they were supposed to, I guess, when I quit wearing them. But I'm glad that I've been through churches, though, that were clanging cymbals. And because Dad allowed us to wear our hair long, or maybe, you know, put earrings in our ears and things, I've been in a lot of churches that claim to be Christian. I was serving the Lord in Bible school, and the minute I'd walk in them, they did nothing but preach to me and try to get me saved the entire time I was there. They were completely missing the Spirit of God. I don't want to be that church. And I got to make sure. So it's spirits that make church. And the Bible says we can just make a lot of spiritual noise if love is not the predominant voice and controlling factor in this church. So we're not going to be culturally driven. We're not going to be, you know, judgmentally driven. You got to understand, every one of us have a spirit. And since we've been in this congregation, even sitting here tonight, there has been a spirit speaking to you that has been contrary to the Word or the Spirit of God. And every one of us being susceptible to a spirit, you have to be able to recognize what spirit that is that speaks to you. I know mine. Mine is pride. Let me tell you where pride is based out of. Pride is based out of great insecurities. Anybody you ever find prideful, the truth is they're hiding behind something great. I've had to study and learn what my spirits that had come against me or that try to lead me in direction, because I know this. If I allow them and I don't give them a right attention and I don't recognize them and I don't put up a defense on purpose against them, they will lead me. And they will always lead me away from the spirit where God's wanting me to lead. Jennifer, me and Jennifer have talked about hers. We have open conversations about ours. Jennifer, you care if I tell yours? All right. The predominant spirit that leads Jennifer is fear. The enemy's constantly speaking fear thoughts to Jennifer. We've recognized this. So because we've purposely, if you're not spending time trying to recognize what spirits are speaking to you, then you have no idea which direction you're being led to. The Spirit will send judgmental spirits to speak to people. The Spirit will speak critical spirits speaking to you. If you've been sitting in here in the last 20 minutes and you've thought of how many things we're doing in here wrong tonight, there is a spirit of criticalism. That's not discernment. Discernment is never critical. Because the Bible says that the gifts, discernment is from the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. There's no love in criticalism. So that is a spirit trying to lead you. And we try to hide that spirit behind a spiritual name. But you got to understand, that will make a church. You find somebody sitting in a church that allows the spirit of criticalism to speak to them. And what they're doing is they're being a major part of a tool that the enemy's trying to get that church to quit being useful in. You've all done. Think about it. It's not just one spirit. There's a predominant spirit that speaks to every person in here. But you're susceptible to allow any spirit to speak to you. Rejection is another spirit that people are susceptible to. Rejection is that spirit that's already told you you're rejected even before you get a chance, before anybody gets a chance to accept you. And so already you're rejecting people before they even get close enough to say hi. Anger. Anger is a spirit. Judgment, anger, you know, any spirit you want to go there. All of us said, my thing is, you got to be able to recognize your spirit. If you don't recognize your spirit, then what happens is that spirit is in control. And if that spirit is in control, then the Spirit of God cannot be. So as a church, we have to be able to recognize spirits that are trying to lead us away from the spirit that God wants us to have, because spirits make men. And spirits make churches. And without the Spirit, we can be biggest church in town. We can be the best praising church in town. We can be the prettiest, best location church in town. But the Bible says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So there's a controlling spirit that speaks to people. People that are always trying to fight for control. Let me let you know something about control. If you got to fight for it, you have to fight to keep it the rest of your life. If you got to fight for your position, then you're going to have to fight to keep it. If God lifts you up, the Bible says, He will promote one and He will take down another. If you allow God to put you there, instead of a spirit of control to put you there, then what happens is you'll stay there. And it will become joy in your life. And it won't be something that you're going to have to come to church every Sunday with boxing gloves on. Same thing works at home. If you're fighting for that. There's a whole list of spirits, and I was thinking about going into those, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to get into it. Let's just talk tonight. There's the Absalom spirit. There's the Jezebel spirit. The sin enemy has sent a host of spirits to try to affect what this church is called to be. But you've got to understand, it's spirits that make men and it's spirits that make churches. And this has to become the spirit. The Bible says for us to be great in the kingdom of God, Jesus said this, we must become the servant of all. What made Elijah great? Because he was willing to wash Elijah's hands. As long as we're willing to help people, as long as we're willing to love people, as long as we're willing to accept people, and as long as we're willing to show people how to get closer to God, we can be a church that God chooses to use in this city. And not just that, He will put us up on a hill, the Bible says, and we'll be a light that all men can see. We have to make sure our spirit stays right. You need to identify what spirit, because what you got to understand is spirits always speak. The Spirit of God speaks. And when you hear what God speaks to you, it gives you the direction to go in and the power to accomplish. Every other spirit speaks as well. You got to understand this. All spirits are prophetic. All spirits are prophetic. The spirit of fear is a prophetic spirit. When it speaks to you and you believe it, you will get exactly what the Spirit says. If you, the spirit of rejection, if you allow it to speak to you and you believe it, then you're going to get exactly what. But if you will let the Spirit of God speak to you and you will accept it and you will believe it, you will get exactly what the Spirit of God says. All spirits are prophetic, so you have to understand whatever spirit you're letting be the predominant voice in your life will determine the end of your life. And that's why you have to determine the Spirit of God is the one that has to be in control. So you have to go, I have to catch myself all the time. When I hear things or feel something, mainly feel, when you get a feeling about, when you feel mad about something, you need to stop and say, what spirit is this? What spirit is speaking to me? Because if I act and respond to this, what's it going to get me? If I, now, can you be angry and sin? Not absolutely. If you get angry because of sin, that's what the Bible says. We have anger, you're angry and sin not. When sin upsets you, if you, not other people, that's judgment. If you're judging other people, sin is making you mad, that's judging spirit. But when you look in your life and you see tolerance and you see sin, it should upset you. And if it upsets you, then you realize that's the Spirit of God. But if somebody is dressed like something and that upsets you, then that's not the Spirit of God. That's a spirit of judgmental. We have to maintain and monitor what spirits are speaking. Because the Bible says, my sheep will know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Because you can follow the wrong spirit. But if we as a church put a desperate need on the Spirit of God in our lives, and we try to constantly maintain and try to constantly keep our ear tuned to what the Spirit of God is saying, and the Spirit of God always says this. It always says love. It always says joy. It always says peace. It always says long-suffering. It always says gentleness. It always says kindness. If you're hearing anything but those things, then what you're hearing is a spirit that is trying to lead you to a place that it will disqualify you for your calling. You say, well, Cricket, you don't understand what they did. I do. I'm shocked at what people do all the time. It blows my mind. And then I look back at a lot of things I do and I stand back on those and I'm shocked at what I just did or what I just said. But I'm so glad that God don't judge me because of my mistakes. And I got to let you know something. People make mistakes. And if you will listen to what God says about their mistakes and not what you feel or think or want to do about their mistakes, I'm telling you, you'll be able to be used by God to be able to help them get closer to God. I want to be a church that's used by God. This is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God leading a life is shown in the life of Paul. Paul, in 59 AD, he wrote a book to the church and he said this. He said, I am the least of the apostles. Now, when you hear that, you can hear that he put himself in the top ranking Christians, but he put himself at the bottom of the top ranking Christians. All right. 5 years later, though, as he got closer to the Lord, he said, I am the least of all saints. He had taken himself out of that top bracket and moved himself to the bottom of the bottom bracket. Then he said this 1 year later when he wrote to Timothy. He said, I am the chief among sinners. What you got to understand is the longer we walk with God and the closer we get to the Lord, it does not build us up. It does not make us big and classier or positioned more. What it should do is make us understand that we become more desperate for God the longer we walk with Him. And the more desperate we are for God, the more God can use us. I want to pray real quick. Bow your head, I want to pray real quick. I want to ask God. I want to pray the same prayer that David prayed. He said, Lord, renew a right. He said, put a right heart in me and renew a right spirit within me. If you're here tonight and you can see that the enemy's come at you with a spirit, and he's been speaking to you in ways about God, or speaking to you about church, or speaking to you about other Christians, or and you say, God, I don't want to be led astray. I don't want to be a degree off. But I want the right spirit to lead and guide and be in me, Lord. And I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody does. I just want you, Lord, to be able to use me to help people find you. And so let this be your prayer. Just say, dear Father, I apologize and I ask you to create a right spirit in me. God, create a right spirit in me. God, as a pastor of this church, I pray, Lord, allow the right spirit to remain in this church. Ask the Holy Spirit come into this place so strong that it would convict any person or anything that would be acting or functioning out of the wrong spirit. Because God, we, this city desperately needs a church that people can encounter you. So I ask you, Lord, just don't call us. Allow us to be a church to be chosen. In the name of Jesus, amen.